Greetings this morning. Very thankful to be here this morning and to worship with you all. There were many songs that spoke to my heart this morning, and I appreciated very much the song service. I was thankful, especially for, I don't have a book up here now, but it's hymn number 696, verse 3. I was very blessed with that verse there. If you don't mind, I might grab that book and read that verse. I feel a bit lame this morning. I hurt my ankle a little yesterday, and I don't want to draw too much attention, so just bear with me. The hymn number 696. Verse 3 says, "Take time to be holy, let him be thy guide, and run not before him, whatever betide. In joy or in sorrow, still follow thy Lord, and looking to Jesus, still trust in his word." I much appreciated that this morning as we sang it. That's what I want to do this morning, is look to him, that he would lead my thoughts, and that I would only speak the things that would be a blessing to his people this morning. So this morning, I've been meditating this past week on what to share, and I'm just so thankful for God's goodness to us today again. We have all experienced his faithfulness again this morning by allowing us to gather together. I'm just very thankful for that. In Psalms chapter 25, a couple of verses that I'd like to read there. I believe they're familiar verses to us, but I'd like to just turn and read those. I think I'm going to actually just read the first 10 verses. Psalms chapter 25, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." Really appreciated all these verses, but especially verses 9 and 10. I appreciated the thought there, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. And that's my heart this morning, that I could be a meek person. "All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies." So I'm just thankful for God's mercy and his goodness to us. Just thankful that all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. And I appreciate that thought this morning. And I was meditating this past week on what was shared last Sunday. And I appreciate what Enos shared about how, what we can do to endure into the end. And that's kind of where my thoughts lie this morning somewhat as well. And I had to think, especially on, I guess my thoughts are revolve around maintaining that close relationship with Jesus and to keep our life fervent and zealous after him. So my thoughts this morning have to do a lot with the effects of the outside influences on our spiritual life. And I'm talking not just outside the world's influences, but all the influences, you know, our families, they all play an effect on our life. And they have the opportunity of tearing down or building up, and how we respond to those those effects on our life. And my thoughts have to do with having a fervent life after God. And I don't know what your thoughts are when you think of fervency, but my thoughts often go to something that is perhaps boiling or on fire, or something that is lively is what I tend to think of with fervency. When I think of fervency, I sometimes think of a tea kettle or a pot of water boiling on the stove. I think of something that has energy and that has power. And many of us know that heat is energy. And as water boils, there's an energy transfer happening there. And it's exciting. It's powerful. And so that's my heart this morning. And I think it's the heart of all of us today, is that we would be able to maintain a fervent and a zealous spiritual life this morning. One that draws people to us and to God, so to speak. And so I shared this illustration somewhere else, and so if someone has heard this, please bear with me. But there is something that has been very interesting to me to consider, and some of you may be well aware of this, but the boiling temperature of water is one that many of us would know. But it's, you know, at 212 degrees is at the altitude in which we live. So 212 degrees is that boiling point of water here. But if we raise or lower the pressure, atmospheric pressure, it changes the boiling point of water dramatically. And so atmospheric pressure is 14.7 pounds. If we would raise that to 100 pounds, does anybody have an idea what the boiling point of water would be? It's approximately 328 degrees. If we remove all pressure and go down to a vacuum, water would boil at approximately 90 below zero. And so as I considered that, I had to think a lot on what the outside influences in our life and how they affect whether we're able to remain fervent and zealous after God. As we increase those outside pressures on our life, many times it's much, much harder for us to maintain a fervent and a zealous life. Now, the interesting thing is we don't live in a vacuum. We don't live without temptations and pressures around us. And so how do we maintain that? And as the pressures of life, especially young families, and I think all of us experience those, it's easy to become lax and not maintain that zealous attitude and fervency that we should. But the only way to do that is to draw closer to God, closer to that fire, closer to the energy source in our that we can draw from. But as we see in this physical example, pressures play a big part in what water does as far as when it vaporizes. And in the same way, the pressures of life around us play a big part in us being able to maintain a fervent and a zeal-filled life. And if we are to maintain, as we heard last Sunday, if we are to make it to the end, we're going to have to find a way to stay close to our heat source, and that's Jesus Christ. As the demands of life increase, we need to find a way to maintain a fervent life. There are a lot of pressures that we can control, and sometimes we take on things that maybe are not for us, and we have to learn to say no to some of those things, and we will find it easier to maintain a fervent Christian life. There's a couple scriptures, and I mentioned a vacuum chamber earlier, and I think it is God's heart that each one of us would be able to find a place, a time in our life, different moments in our life, where we can put some of those pressures aside, and that we can find strength and power to press on again. I don't know where that is or how that is with you, or each one of us are different in those ways, but I think it's important that we can find a place, a quiet place, away from a lot of the pressures of life. There's a scripture I'd like to read in Acts chapter 18. And we could go through a lot of different scriptures in the Bible that talk about fervency, and I for the sake of time, I don't think we will this morning, or not a lot of them, but there's a scripture here in Acts 18, starting in verse 24, I'd like to read to the end of the chapter. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born of Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was introduced to the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them, and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he came helped them much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. And here we see an example of a man that was fervent. He was mighty in the scriptures. And we see here also that Aquila and Priscilla took him under their wing and discipled him, showing him the way of God more completely there, more perfectly. We see a life there of fervency, one that was zealous. And that's another thing that we'll see as an indication of a fervent and zealous life, is a life that is not ashamed. It's not ashamed of what it believes in and who it believes in. May we not be found ashamed in the day of our Lord. And like I shared, so there's times that we can take on too much to our own hurt. There are pressures on our life that sometimes are not by choice. And sometimes we can't control those. And may God give us the grace as we bear through those things. May He give us strength through the trials that we sometimes face in life. We do know where we can find power and energy, and I praise God for that. And so many times it's by our own choice whether or not we experience that. God's grace is there for us. If it is God's will that we walk through the trials or whatever the challenges are in our life, if it's God's will, He will provide the grace. And I'm very thankful for that this morning. May we learn to draw from Him. I just want to say also that we do well to rid ourselves of undue pressures, that we can be all for God's kingdom that we can be. I'd like to read Philippians chapter 3, a couple verses there. And I just want to say that this message is probably not going to be well balanced this morning, but because we do all need to work and we need to labor in this life for our livelihood, so to speak, and what we need. But may we be careful what all we take on just because we can. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. I believe I was going to stop there. Here we see Paul here speaking of the life that he was called to. And I believe that we could probably bring this all right down into our own lives. We have been apprehended for what reason? And we want to reach forth unto those things which are before and press in. Another thought I had was that we need to keep the end in focus and not lose sight. You know, it's very easy to have a vision that catches on to those things which are nearby and lose focus. And we all know that if that happens, we're going to tend to wander. And that's a challenge for us sometimes, to maintain a vision far out, because we do live in the present. But it is the desire of my heart that we could maintain the end as our focus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a couple verses I'd like to read there as well. 2 Corinthians 4:14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I was blessed by that scripture as well. May we look at the things which are not seen this morning through the eye of faith. And may that be where a vision rests on. Few are the other thoughts that I have, still somewhat along this same line, but I want to also consider one other example. I think I might have time to share this as well. But many of us are very familiar with batteries. Most of us have batteries and things. And I like this example, because a battery is not its own energy source. Something else supplies the energy for that battery. And I like to look at us as Christians today as batteries. And many of us walk around with our batteries on below half or sometimes all the way on dead. And when we come into contact with people with other needs, many times the power is not there to bless. And that's been a challenge to my own heart. What condition am I in? Am I recharged for the day? Am I recharged to be a blessing to those who I come in contact with? And that's been a thought that we cannot generate our own energy. And please don't try. Our energy is from the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I have also thought of some is, sometimes we run into people, and God forbid that it's us, but who are always negative, who always are have a negative word for every situation. And I want us to consider that a little bit this morning. Sometimes it's just simply, we got the polarity messed up. And we come around, and if that's us, our battery is in backwards. And we come into contact with other people, and we could say, spiritually speaking, the sparks kind of fly. And may we have patience if we come into contact with those people and help them perhaps through life in that way. But we want to be a blessing to others, and we want to be able to build God's kingdom. And I just want us to consider that this morning. We are to be an energy store of God this morning, and we trust that we come to church with our batteries on the full mark instead of on the empty, because we're much more of a blessing. But yeah, I just want to leave those thoughts with you this morning. May we be a blessing to God's kingdom, and may we find strength. If we're struggling, if the cares of life are dragging us down, may we find a place that we can perhaps pull back from some of those undue pressures on our life, and all else fails, draw closer to the heat source. And I just want to leave those thoughts with you this morning. God bless you.